This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast on Patriots.com Radio.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
The Draft Prospect Review Podcast is your source for all the latest news and information on the NFL Draft.
The New England Patriots like...
This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast on Patriots.com Radio.
We are all back together again here at Gillette Stadium, and this time for our Draft Podcast Review, we're going to actually recap the entire process. We've given you... in-depth looks at every position, and we've talked about a lot of different players. But what I thought we could do here to sort of summarize and give everybody, if you're only going to listen to one podcast and you want to get all the information, this would be the one to download, right?
There you go.
You know, this is your one-stop shop. And I guess I'll start it off. I have Mike Dussault, Evan Lazar, and Matisse Baumann. So I want to get your thoughts first and foremost on what you think the Patriots' biggest needs are position-wise heading into this draft. And let's go around. Mike, you started off.
Yeah, I'll start with offensive tackle. I mean, I think that's – nobody loves it. It's not sexy. But I think if they took an offensive tackle at 14, we'd all be like, yeah, all right, we get it. It's not the sexiest need, and it's probably not the one that's going to immediately change the offense like people want. But it's the kind of selection good teams make. So we'll see. I guess we'll eat our vegetables if we get to that point. But I think tackle's definitely a need, long-term especially.
Evan, you agree?
At this point, I honestly don't really care too much about the position, as long as it's a premium position. Tackle,
didn't take him
receiver,
long to get down my road,
corner, edge rusher. Yeah. Let's not go any more running backs, no guards, right? None of that. But when I look at the landscape now, especially with Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets officially, and if you're the Patriots, you just need to stack talent together on this roster. I think getting too caught up in need and too caught up in filling holes on your depth chart and things like that, we might not be there yet with
yes,
this
you
team.
Know, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't ruin all my questions all at once.
But
I wanted to know what you thought the biggest positional need was, not necessarily what you think the Patriots are going to do at 14. And I agree with your premise.
Yeah,
I think they have enough holes that they don't have to be pigeonholed into one position. Yeah. But I would agree with Mike. That's my view. Is tackle is probably the biggest. You can make an argument for the other spots that Evan's at cornerback and, yeah. You know, edge, wide receiver. I mean, I think you can make an argument for a lot of different spots. But, you know, Tease, where you fall?
I'll give the people what they want. I want a cornerback or a wide receiver. One
yeah.
of the two. That's
yeah.
it.
Another one who can't follow directions. This is what I want. You know, Mike, I ask a
what
simple
do you
question.
Need?
Mike,
do you need
Circle
it?
Gets a square. You're the only one that answered the question.
I
but
what?
I do agree with you guys, and I do – tackle, like, I understand, you know, and no one more so than me is going to sit there and say, I got to write an analysis piece on a tackle. Like, yeah, you know, whatever. But at the same time, you have Trent Brown, who is unreliable to start with, but also entering the final year of his deal. You picked up a couple of guys, one at the end of his career, one who you think in Calvin Anderson might be able to turn into something potentially, but you really don't have a set starter at the right tackle position. So I do think it's probably time that you address that and add some depth there, but not necessarily saying you have to do it at 14. So let's go where Evan was going, guys, and sort of talk about how we think this board might unfold. And I do think in terms of tackle, there was a minor element of that Aaron Rodgers deal that could benefit the Patriots, and that I think – the Jets were a tackle team. They were in need of a tackle. Now, I don't know if they would have taken one. You know, we've seen mock drafts with guys all over the place. But I do think the Jets were a team that if a Broderick Jones or a Paris Johnson or Skoronski, one of those guys, they would have probably thought long and hard. Based on what I've seen a little bit with Green Bay, it looks like they're not necessarily looking for a tackle, maybe one of the wide receivers. Yeah. So that could benefit the Patriots if they want to do, you know, that offensive line road.
At the very least, I just like not having the Jets pick right before the Patriots, because then it's something that, you know, you're always going to have to have it right in your face. But I think at that point, it's probably – if I had to put money down on, like, a roulette board, I would put it on tackle, cornerback, and edge for that 14th overall pick. With edge being a little bit of the dark horse to see maybe somebody falls. I know they've been kicking the tires on all those guys, but – I think those are the positions that make sense, and there's a select few. There's maybe, what, like five guys that you feel like are worth it at 14 that kind of fill it, and otherwise then I feel like we get into the 20 to 40 range that, like, there's a lot of good guys in there that I think could, you know, fill some of those needs that they have.
Evan, I want to ask you something a little bit more pointed with regard to that, just to change it up a little bit from Mike's answer, is the notion that there aren't, you know, an abundance of blue chip guys. And I think we all agree, you know, like, I don't follow this stuff as closely as the guys that get paid to do it, but I think we all agree that there's probably not more than, say, 6, 8, 10 max first round kind of bona fide guys.
Absolutely.
If that's the case, do you like the idea of moving down, or do you like the idea of ensuring that you get one of the better players?
Well, I just think that that's why I'm not backing myself into a corner on a position, because if you go into the draft where, like, I think they went into the draft last year and said, we're coming out with a guard. Either way, whatever way it goes, we're coming out with a guard. I think if you do that at tackle, which would probably be the most realistic position to do that at as well, then you might get into a spot where you have a B-plus pick, right? Like, you have a plus starter, like a Darnell Wright or an Anton Harrison or somebody along those lines who's going to be a good player for you. But I think the Patriots got enough good players, right? They need players that are elite players. And that's why I don't necessarily look at this board the way that it's shaping up right now and say that you absolutely need to take this position at this spot. And your point about the blue chippers is a good one, where if you're sitting there at 14, and let's see, you know, my mock draft this morning, Tyree Wilson starts to slide a little bit, because I think if he doesn't go to Houston at 2, I can't really find a great place to put him in the top 10 if it's not to the Texans. The Seahawks are always a little bit of a wild card team too. Their board is kind of like the Patriots. It's beats to its own drum. So you never really know what Seattle is thinking either. But you start to think about some of the players that, okay, who's the most realistic guys that might slide into the early part of the teens, right? And I think Tyree Wilson's one of them. I think Christian Gonzalez is one of them. It really seems like Devin Witherspoon is going to be the top corner in this draft. If you're the Patriots and you're sitting there at 14 – and it's not trading up for a quarterback, so you're not giving up a king's ransom to trade up. Trading up to 11 to leapfrog a team like Houston that might have some similar players on their board as you, and maybe to leapfrog a team like Green Bay that typically doesn't draft receivers in the first round, so maybe they're looking at an edge position or something like that too. I don't hate it. Like, I think that that's something that you realistically have to come away with, because, again, if you trade it back into the 20s, I'm confident that you're going to get a solid, maybe above average to plus starter. But how many above average starters does one team need? You know, you need some guys that are going to be bus drivers, not guys that are sitting in the back, right? So I think at some point you have to think about that with this draft, that there really isn't a ton of first round quote unquote talents. I think a lot of teams are going to have fewer than 15 of those in this draft.
So Tease, I'll switch it up a little bit to you, like I did with Evan, and I'll ask you if you could, like, I understand the way the mock drafts are unfolding, right? You don't know exactly, but if you had a dream scenario that someone's available at 14.
Do it.
I'm taking Christian Gonzalez. I mean, ideally, you don't need to trade up to get him, but I think
you guys might want to watch All Access this week. Oh, yeah. Give you a little sneak.
Little Gonzalez.
No, I think
tonight, actually. Tonight.
I was leaning towards wide receiver, which also I think it's hilarious. Rodgers left, and there's a good chance the Packers are finally going to take a receiver in the first round.
I saw that on Twitter yesterday about JSN, and I did laugh to myself. I agree with Evan. That's sort of an out-of-character move for the Packers, but I did
absolutely
chuckle to myself, like, now you're going to go and get it.
To be fair, they took Christian Watson, what, 34th overall? So.
Yeah.
But, no, honestly.
But Gonzalez would be, I think, someone that's one of those dream scenarios that might not necessarily have to be, like, strictly, like, your head's in the clouds. I think there's a scenario that you can walk yourself through. Yeah. You know, I was away for a week, missed a lot of stuff. Evidently, Hendon Hooker is now in the first round.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, is that wrong?
Back end of the first round.
Okay, yeah. So what happens if someone says, you know what, I want to make sure I get him, and they move up ahead of 14 to get Hendon Hooker?
Well, I look at Tennessee, not just because he went to Tennessee, but a team that I don't know how you can be sold on that quarterback room right now. And there's other four quarterbacks go ahead of them, and they can't trade up into the top 10 to get their guy, then
it
maybe
certainly
Hendon
seems like
Hooker.
A reset year in Tennessee anyway. Yeah. So
right.
what's the deal if you have your first round pick and he can't play for half the year?
Yeah. I mean, you look at the four quarterbacks, the Falcons, it just blows my mind that Atlanta, if there is a quarterback on the board in those top four guys, that the Falcons are going to say, you know what, we got Desmond Ridder, we're all set at quarterback. Like, I feel like that has to be a spot where they might just be sitting there and C.J. Stroud might just fall in their laps, and I just don't know how, as that front office, you just say, no, we're good. Like, we have what, Ridder.
You got to wonder if some of these teams are just waiting for next year's quarterback class, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you got who, Caleb Williams and then that kid from UNC.
I always think that's very dicey. Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, we've seen it happen so many times that the guy you identified the year before turns out to be somewhat disappointing. Now, these guys, you know, Young and Stroud weren't disappointing. They were the guys going into the season. They were the guys coming out of the season. But I think we've seen it. You know, I think Sam Darnold was somewhat disappointing his last year at USC.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't really hurt his draft stock. I think he still went third overall. But I think sometimes I agree with Evan that can be dicey. But I do think if you get, like, four quarterbacks and then possibly a fifth, and now the Green Bay thing to me throws a, you know, I don't know, maybe they're interested in one of the guys that you're interested in, but I think that's a different team ahead of you now. You never know how these are going to unfold. And then, you know, the kid from Georgia, Jalen, where does he go?
Right.
Right.
Who's going to take that?
Does he, you know, you mentioned Seattle earlier. I could see that being a pick for Seattle.
I think
too.
Seattle and Philly are the two teams in the top 10 that I see really strong front offices, good programs. You can't, if you're a team like the Raiders, for instance, you can't take a chance on Jalen Carter because your job is on the line.
And they've
at
had
that
too
point.
Many of those first rounders in high draft picks in recent years. They can't afford another one.
So you have to have a stable organization in the front office that feels confident in their job security, I think, to take a guy like Jalen Carter. But I still think he goes in the top 10. And you look at the locks in the top 10, I think the four quarterbacks are locked in the top 10 some way or another, whether teams trade up into the top 10 or they all go to teams that are already there. Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, and then I think Devin Witherspoon has basically cemented himself as a top 10 pick. So that's seven guys. And the other three spots, like I said earlier, is a complete wild card.
I have a few more questions I'm going to ask. I want to get all three of your thoughts. But I'll start off with a very simple one. Who is the best player in this class?
Maybe Jalen Carter, right? I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to see on the quarterbacks. I mean, you know, some size issues. There's a lot to like about Bryce Young, though. Is it going to translate? I don't think it's crazy to say that it will. But, I mean, I would probably go with one of the defensive linemen between Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, those two guys. I think, you know, just an instant impact if they land in the right place, especially when you talk about going to Philadelphia. I mean, plugging that player into that front. I mean, you know, where he doesn't even – I mean, they've had Fletcher Cox there forever. Now you add another kind of disruptive, just problem player. I think those guys, especially, I mean, you talk about Carter with the issues that he's had. It might end up better for him. He's going to end up on a better team now instead of going in the top three. You know, if he goes 6-7 somewhere in there, he's going to go into a great situation and really have a chance to flourish. I'd probably go with those guys.
Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
That'd be my pick.
I think it's Will Anderson or Bijan Robinson. The only reason it wouldn't be is I think it's stupid to take a running back in the first round.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying who I would want to take. Yeah. I'm saying who do you think is the best player in the draft? I think you can make a strong argument for Robinson. I was waiting for Matisse to come up with like a Division II quarterback, you know, who has all the measurables.
Nick Saldivari, Old Dominion.
So, you know, I like to sort of look at it that way sometimes and then – It's amazing like how wildly you can miss on some of those guys. Like, oh, I think so and so is going to be the best player in the class, and so and so is out of the league in 3 years. Like,
I agree with Mike that it is probably Jalen Carter. I was just giving a different name that wasn't Jalen Carter, but I think the one concern that you have with Jalen Carter is the motor. He doesn't always play at full tilt, but when he does play at full tilt, he's the most unstoppable thing in the draft.
Okay, I'm going to give you a cup. This one will give you a lot of options, but. If there's one guy, and this is two different ways I'm going to ask this. I'm going to ask you first, one guy that you think really strongly will end the weekend as a Patriots draft pick. One guy to identify. Who would it be, Mike?
The whole weekend. Whew, this is
All right, moving on. We'll go to Evan and let Mike think.
in the whole weekend, all 3 days.
You know, any like just one guy that you saw, like this, the Patriots are going
to
draft.
I'll do one. You want me to do one?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll say Tyler Steen.
I was going to say Tyler Steen too.
You know, just a day.
Jake Bobo.
Yeah, that's my guy. There's quite a few. I mean, it could maybe say Charlie Jones is, you know, kind of that day two.
Charlie Jones has Patriots
vibes. You
know,
that slot receiver.
But doesn't he have Patriots should take this guy, but don't, like, you know, like
he's too fast.
Like Hunter Renfrow style, right? Like where it just is like this is a slam dunk Patriot, and then he doesn't end up being.
Maybe one of the punters too. I'd throw in there as like you know, just potential, like one of those. Like I feel like they're definitely going to take a punter this year. That seems just, you know, fifth round.
Yeah, if you have to lock something in, I think Michael Turk, the punter from Oklahoma, is as much as when it comes to the draft, we can't lock anything in. But you have a need at punter. You know that Bill's going to care about that. And you also have a guy that you spent an entire week with working at the Shrine Bowl and was impressive in Vegas at the Shrine Bowl with the Patriots. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you don't come away from the draft needing a punter, but you don't take the punter you worked with for a week. That doesn't really seem to line up.
I just signed one.
Did you just zone out, Paul?
I would just sign one. You know, I'm sure there's one down the street at the Y in Foxborough who can do it.
So,
but anyway.
They'll take him in the fifth round. They'll trade up or something like that and get a fifth round pick because that's what they do.
And then he'll actually put the foot on the ball in the first game and everybody goes, oh, Belichick did it again. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just like Jake Bailey, who turned out. But Dane Brugler actually had him as like a seventh round pick, priority free agent in the Beast. So maybe he is somebody that they actually – wait on and take in the sixth or seventh round instead of reaching on a punter in the fourth round.
And to be clear, like, you know, as much as my snark comes through, like, if you take him in the seventh round just to make sure you get him, that's nothing wrong with that. Like, but like the whole trading up in the fourth round or the fifth round, like,
it's our guy.
I think you can find players still in the middle of the draft. Darnell Washington is a guy I keep coming back to for the Patriots. I think the position makes a lot of sense, tight end. I think the size and the skill set, I think, has to be intriguing. I think one of those tight ends.
Oh, totally.
But I'll pick Washington because I don't want to be wishy-washy. I mean, like the Laporta. Which is
Schoonmaker.
Kraft. You know, like all those kinds of guys.
Kuntz.
I think all those guys make sense, but I want to pick one, and I'm going to pick Washington. I know he's kind of been rising a little bit, so maybe that requires some aggressiveness.
I just think they have to hit this tight end class, given, I mean, what we know about them. They've always been a huge tight end team. I mean, we'll see what Bilio thinks about, you know, the tight ends and what, you know, what he did with Gronk and Hernandez, if that's something that still intrigues him. But I'm a little bit more on just like the guys who maybe could develop into that, like, every down Y tight end, can play in line, can go out, can make, you know, stretch the seam a little bit. That's the guy you're looking for. But I would still say too, I know Hunter Henry and Gesicki are only on 1 year deals. I could see Hunter Henry sticking around too. I don't know if it's like they're gonna wash it next year. I don't know, but I mean I could just see it. Like, you know, like
I'm kinda with Evan.
I would love to.
They got enough good players.
Right, but you know, but maybe he's
I wanna see a home run.
But maybe next year he's the two, you know, and then this kid that we draft this year and develops and you're like, all right, well, let's keep Hunter Henry around as almost like what's his face that they had in 2010. Where they still kept the veteran tight end who dropped the ball in the 20 against the Jets. You know what I'm talking about?
Algie Crumpler.
You know, you have kind of that. I don't think it's the corpse of Hunter Henry yet, but I think Hunter Henry's going to have a little bit of a bounce.
If you saw what Algie Crumpler had to do to get in his chair after every game,
really,
you would have been a little bit more sympathetic to Algie Crumpler. That poor guy gave everything.
He shouldn't even be on the field.
He gave everything he had to get out there every game. I'll start with you with this next one. Two-part question.
Okay.
Do they pick a quarterback? And if so, which one would you like to see the Patriots pick?
I don't think they pick a quarterback.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah. No, I mean, do you want me to spice it up?
Tell me why you don't think they'll take a quarterback.
I think you just, like, you got to ride with Mac. Like, I don't know. Like, if it doesn't work out, see next year's class. But, I mean.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying you're going to take Anthony Richardson at 14 or anything. But
I mean. No, I don't think the need's there. I think there are other needs that need to be addressed, and Mac can get you through the season. And hopefully he plays like he does rookie year.
Yep.
Too late to turn back down. Come on, Evan.
I say yes. I think they do take a quarterback. I still would not be totally blown away if they take Will Levis if he's there at 14.
Is this a developing opinion that I missed last week?
Well, he came in for the visit.
No, I know that. I did see that.
And
not so much, but a little
bit. I just look at his skill. I think his skill set's a little bit misunderstood. I think a lot of people look at him and see a Josh Allen or a Justin Herbert. I see a player that's much better in structure than out of structure, where those two guys, I think, thrive on shots down the field and in their athletic ability and their arm talent. I think the best part about Levis is his quick game ability, is the quick release and the ability to get the football out. I think he's somebody that has a long way to go, but I just don't know if this regime is in on Mac anymore. I just can't convince myself that they like the kid. It is everything that
it's hard to.
Everything that they've pointed to. Now, I think cooler heads prevail. I don't think that they end up doing that, but I see a guy like DTR in day three, maybe, that it just makes too much sense. At least you get somebody in here that has a little bit more mobility and athletic upside than the two guys you have in the room. And if it doesn't work out with Mac, maybe he turns into like a Jalen Hurts right. type developmental player.
So I picked him as my quarterback on All Access. And again, that'll be Wednesday night. So depending on when you're listening to this podcast, that'll be the night before the draft. But I just felt like if you're going to take a developmental guy, doesn't it need to be one of those kind of guys with a completely different kind of skill set than what you have?
Yeah.
And some really intriguing traits. You know? Just not the whole package yet, but
so, like Evan Mike, said, do you feel they'll take a quarterback?
I do. I would just stamp everything Evan said. I mean, we've been talking about DTR since, you know, the beginning of this whole process. And, I mean, I think that for everything you guys said, it just makes sense to round out the room. I'm always a fan of taking quarterbacks.
I think it's good business in general.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to take one in the fourth round who creates value for you.
I do would love to, this isn't the forum for it, but I'd love to go down the wormhole of, like, what does it look like if they took Will Levis? Like, what, you know, when we get out to camp, you know, or like, what's the plan? Like, all those things. I think those are fun things to speculate, but I'm with you guys.
If they take Will Levis, I think Matt gets moved on Friday.
Yeah, I agree.
I would have to agree.
I agree.
And all of a sudden, we have a very busy weekend. Much busier than even we thought.
I just, with DTR, though, I do think that there's a lot to be said for how he's developed at UCLA under Chip Kelly, who we know is a friend of Belichick, and the passer that he is now compared to the passer that he was when he got to UCLA a couple years ago is night and day. So I do think there's a lot of upside there. And until you're sold on your quarterback, how do you not keep taking quarterbacks? And no one's saying they have to take one in the first round, but until you're stamped and approved that you got your guy, I don't know how you give up on that position.
All right. So I guess we'll, you know, sort of round third here and bring this home. And I'll just ask you the very simple one-offs here. Tease, I'll start with you. Who are the Patriots taking at 14? Oh, well, what do they do at 14? I don't want to lead the witness. Trade up, trade down, sit tight. What do you think?
What do you want them to do, or what do I think they do?
Give me both. What you want them to do and what you think they will do.
I want them to trade up.
Okay.
And, you know, since I've been here, they've traded back, they've stood their ground, and then traded back again. I think this is the year they trade up. And I'm not saying they go up to, like, top 10, but, you know, maybe go to number 11 and they get Christian Gonzalez or Joey Porter.
Okay. What do you think they will do?
Stay where they are.
Okay. F?
I think they stay where they are, too, because just off of their track record, going from 14 to 26 or something like that, I think that they're going to see a pretty big talent drop off there in those picks. But I think that it will be, unfortunately, someone that we don't really love at the 14th overall pick, maybe like a Deontay Banks or a Darnell Wright. Those two guys stand out to me as Patriot type players that they took the corner from Maryland. Like that's like the reach kind of element to it, that maybe even take him over Joey Porter Jr. And that's going to get everybody all riled up. But did you ask what I want them to do, or can I tell you what I want them to do? Because
yeah, absolutely. Two-part question.
At this point, I think that there's a lot to be said for overall morale within the organization and improving the overall just juju in that locker room, no pun intended. And I think the only guy that I see in this draft that does that is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and maybe Zay Flowers, but I think that you are reaching for Zay Flowers a little bit at 14. But I think one of those two guys is the only one that we get out to training camp, they get back from the off season, and people you can start to see something here. There's
some buzz.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien back in the building. Now he has some new toys to play with, along with, you know, the guys that have already been here. So what I think they'll do is tires on a car, right? Like, they'll take a tackle or the corner that nobody wants them to take. But what I hope they do is take one of these two receivers, really, JSN or Zay Flowers, are the only two guys that I really feel like are surefire would-be first-rounders pretty much any year. I think once you get into the Addisons and the Quentin Johnstons, you're going down a little bit, but that's where I'm at.
Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with a lot of what he said. I mean, I think that what they're probably going to do is probably a tackle. I mean, it's just, you look at their history of draft, it's defensive line, it's offensive line, it's, you know, occasional linebackers, but that's usually where they focus on. So if you're looking at the history, it's probably that. What would I like them to do? I hear what he's saying with wide receiver. I would be excited about one of those cornerbacks, though, and I think, you know, if it was Gonzalez, I think that that's a piece that would generate some buzz, because I think the people that really watch know that, like, that's a piece that they need. Evan talks about you need blue chip players. Where do you need the blue chip players the most? Totally agree on wide receiver. Not quite a match, but, like, if you could get Gonzalez at 14, somebody like that, I think is a blue chip cornerback, big need.
Yeah, I don't have anything really different than any of you guys. You know, I think that they will sit tight, and I think they will end up taking a tackle. And I don't think that's a bad move. Like, I think that that's a big-time need, and I think that has probably the best chance to have a quality player there, is that position.
Yep.
What I want them to do is what Matisse said. I want them to at least be prepared to be aggressive and move up a couple of spots if they see Gonzalez. Now, hopefully they think about Gonzalez the way the four of us evidently do. I think he is that kind of, like, long athletic guy on the outside that you could plug in for 10 years and say, I have a pretty good player out there. And I think it's been a little bit since they had that guy, you know, like, you know, when Gilmore, you know, was here, been a couple of years now.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that that's really immeasurable. And you want to talk about this defense being the difference between being, you know, the fourth ranked defense and the fourth best defense in football. You know, like, there's a little bit of a difference there. I think if you can improve the athleticism in your secondary, you can go from a team that's highly rated on defense to a team that's very good on defense.
Yeah.
Now, who knows if he works, but I would like to see them be prepared to be aggressive if someone's slipping to go up and get him.
That's tackle at 14. To think that the answer to Aaron Rodgers coming to the division in the is to continue to build on defense. Like, I just can't imagine he's going to look at this and say, the best way for us to compete with Buffalo is to outscore them. He's not going to think
it's
that way.
His DNA.
No, he's going to think edge, corner, let's build through the defense and let's build that side of the ball up so we can win a game against Buffalo 24-21. He doesn't want to play Buffalo 41-38. He doesn't see them having a chance, and I can't necessarily disagree with that.
So we won't have to wait very much longer. That's going to wrap up our draft podcast reviews here at Gillette Stadium, and we this weekend we'll get into it. So we will be with you live. You're looking live. For the first round, we will be on for the entirety of the first round on Thursday night. So you want to, you know, check out and listen to everything that Mike and Evan have to say. They've done a tremendous amount of research on this draft. So we will have you, we will have opinions. I'm not telling you they're right, wrong, or indifferent, but we'll have opinions on the players that are getting picked and on who the Patriots select, and we'll give you some instant analysis. We will be with you Thursday night, like I said, for the entirety of the first round. We'll be with you Friday night, I believe, from
Friday 7 to 10.
7 to 10. That's what I was going to guess. And I don't know.
12 to
somebody
2,
involved Saturday. In the Saturday show likes to change the hours all the time. So, Tease, what are we doing Saturday?
Looks like 2 to 3.
2 to 3?
Only 1 hour?
That's a rain.
Sure it's not 2 to 4?
Oh, sorry, 2 to 4. 2 to 4.
2 to 4. Yeah.
Okay.
2 to 4 is what we've sort of locked into the last couple of Saturdays. So if you want to figure out what the Patriots are doing and what you think, how you think the Patriots did, you want to be with us for Patriots Unfiltered for those shows. So thanks for listening.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. Subscribe on Apple, Google Play, and everywhere else you listen. Like the show? Please rate and review us. Listener comments and ratings help keep us high in the podcast rankings so new listeners can find us. Be sure to check patriots.com for more news and more podcasts.